My friend Ben Jerome pinged me and said, hey dude, get on this Clubhouse thing and check it out. It's great. It's amazing. It's really led to a lot of good connections. And I was like, all right, man, I guess I'll jump on there. So I did, and we talked a little bit about what it's about and what that looks like, and started brainstorming. I was like, huh, this is pretty fascinating. Why not try it out? So I decided, hop on here and meet people and on the spot, on demand, record a podcast that same day and get it produced immediately and have it up and running within 48 hours on Spotify, on Apple, on Google, to share with your friends and family. So that's what this is all about. You are the star. Welcome to the John Bass Show, starring John Bass. I'm Phil Brothers, and I'll be the host, but today, John, you are the star. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for such a great intro.
Yes, sir. You deserve it, buddy. You are the star today. So I want to get started out with one of the things you mentioned to me, which is tack fit. That's fascinating to me. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Basically, tack fit is a system to train special forces. And also I've heard, but it's designed to put your body under extreme stress. So you're able to fight, because we're doing Kung Fu, recover really quick and then keep going. So it's that kind of training. And yeah, you do it and you end up kind of very disorientated, or I did anyway. all the exercises are very high intensity. It's designed to really push you. So, and it was nice because we had a lot of nice little group of guys all doing it. It's basically push really hard, rest, push really hard, rest, push really hard, rest. But we did it in a group. So everybody's synchronized and everybody's kind of suffering together.
Nice.
So it was really cool. I ended up, traveling and stuff. So I didn't pursue it, but has a fitness protocol. It is amazing.
That sounds fascinating.
It's so hard, but it's also a lot of fun.
Yeah, so Chad's here in the room with us, for those who can't see. And we used to do a workout like that. We had, now nothing like that as far as the intensity of tactical like that, but we would take the battle rope and we'd swing it, we'd swing kettlebells and work ourselves pretty exhausted. Yeah, yeah. But when you're going through it together, it builds that camaraderie, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So you, and speaking of like camaraderie, and one of the things that you've talked about as far as being on Clubhouse was, getting a good message out there, but also connecting and building community. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, for sure. I think with what's happened over the last 18 months, it's more important than ever that we connect with each other, because there's really no difference between us. Yeah, sure, on the surface level, personality, beliefs, whatever. But we're all part of the same reality. We all share the same reality, and we can honor our differences, but we've also got to remember that we are one community. We share one planet together, and bringing that kind of attitude into Clubhouse. And I'm having a fantastic time on Clubhouse, because the people that I'm meeting here are just awesome. Like, I haven't had one bad experience of, connecting with people, being in rooms, and it's very supportive, community, building a community around, what you do and what you believe in. People naturally gravitate towards that. It just speaks to the spirit of being human, I think, at the end of the day. The more we work together and we collaborate, we can really make some big changes in the world.
Yeah, no, I dig that. That's cool. So again, we're all the same humanity-wise, right? We all got a heartbeat and some lungs, and we got that same makeup. So now, regardless of opinion or thought process or location, you're in Slough, which I've never heard of, so you're educating me, but that's south of London, yeah?
Yeah, that's where I came from, but I'm currently in Portugal, in rural Portugal.
And you call yourself a digital nomad.
Indeed, sir.
And I love that so much. So I'll say I'm a nomad at heart, but again, with eight kids, traveling like that is not quite in the cards for me. But I respect and I get excited whenever I get to hear people traveling like that. So my hat's off to you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, good life.
So in your travels, you know, you've had a lot of experiences in life in general, and one of those experiences involves crystals and essential oils. And I would like you to educate us on that, please.
For sure. My pleasure. So this is early 2019. I was leaving the UK and I was traveling to Colorado to spend some time with some friends there. Before I left, I had one friend over here and she's really into crystals. So I'm making the music and I'm like, she's laid out this whole crystal grid. And funnily enough, it was pretty close-minded of me not to think of this, but she said, come and have a look at these crystals. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be doing work, you know? And she's like, come on and have a look. So I put my hands over these crystals. And I started to feel into the energy field, and yeah, it was intense. Like I could sense the energy of these crystals. And you know, I walked into that experience holding one belief, walked out with a completely different belief about another tool that I use quite regularly for meditation. And they've, you know, crystals have their own personality. Like they're alive. They have their own kind of energy to them. And I use them when I'm, you know, needing to clear or calm my energy down, kind of thing. So they're a good way to actually enhance the music that I actually make. And similarly, then I went to Colorado and stayed with another friend of mine. And she made these essential oils, and I was curious about them, but it wasn't anything, I wasn't drawn to them really. I was just curious. But again, I walked into that situation, and it's such it's an immersive sensory experience when you're inhaling like pure, you know, proper high quality essential oils. They do things to your brain. They do things to your body that are just nothing else can really touch. So I was just, you know, strictly into sound. And then I walked out of those two experiences with two other modalities that are very complementary to that, you know? So it was just a process of opening my mind to other stuff.
Expanding your horizons. That's cool.
Yeah, totally.
So speaking of expanding horizons, Summer has joined our room here. And so she is the previous star of last week's show. And one of the things...
Wow, excellent.
Yeah, I know. It's the gathering of the stars here, y'all. But laid down the concept of a potato platter. Summer, would you be willing to share with the group what we came up with there?
You know, wow, Phil. I don't know if they can handle it.
I know. It's pretty amazing.
Well, hi, John. How are you?
Hello. I'm very well, Summer. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Yeah, so Phil and I were talking last time, and he asked me, my favorite food. And, you know, I'm from the South, pretty simple, small town, and I went with the just all-American potato. So we settled on a potato platter. You could have some gnocchi, a baked potato, some hash browns, mashed potatoes, and then you have to have a sauce platter, obviously, to accommodate, you know, all your dipping preferences. So that is our go-to-market strategy, I think, going forward.
Yeah, we came up with a beautiful creation. So in that, John was sharing with us about wings. He's a wingman. So John, let us know the top spot in the world, in your opinion, as far as wings are concerned.
It has to be Wing, and they've got a branch in Hammersmith and other places in London, but I've been to the Hammersmith one, and I can vouch for it. Yeah, are just amazing, amazing wings. My mouth watering right now.
That's exciting. So whenever I'm coming to visit in London at some point, I'm hitting you up and we're going to Wing. How's that sound?
Definitely.
All right.
Definitely.
And then maybe you can try and order in Italian and we'll throw them off with your British accent speaking Italian, which has got to be just a fantastic experience.
Si, signore, voglio il pollo.
Yes. Well, that sounds
yes.
That sounds magical. And speaking of magical, one of the books that you recommend, and one of the most impactful books that you mentioned, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so part of the reason why I'm able to make the music the way I do is I studied NLP and hypnosis, and I read a book by John Grinder, and I believe Richard Bandler as well, called The Structure of Magic, Volume 2, that explains in very, very technical terms the you know, how language is structured and how we think through the words that we use. But the really magical thing about this book, which is in the title, is that it induced these amazing states of trance as I was reading it. So it's like it's an eyes wide open hypnosis book that just takes you deep. It's like you read beyond, far, far beyond what the words are saying. And there's a structure there behind what the actual words that you're reading, has demonstrate, kind of thing. So just an amazing book to read, and that was one of the elements that actually kind of shaped my whole journey, because when I read that book and I did my NLP training, I was in another world. I had to ground myself, but I was on cloud nine for about a year absorbing all the kind of learning and integrating it.
That's awesome. So NLP, you said, can you break that down for us? What is that?
Yeah, it's basically the structure of how the mind works. It's been a few years since I've done it, but I use the principles from NLP in a hypnotic sense to induce trance in myself, and actually use it through my music and induce it through meditations and, that kind of stuff. But it's a tool that's used for personal development and coaching, and to create change in people. The element that I really fell in love with was the hypnotic element, how to structure language so it induces different states in people. And I did the NLP training, and following to that, I did the hypnosis training, because the two are very closely linked. But the hypnosis training was really what took it to the next level for me. In short, it's just basically a tool for personal development and coaching.
Okay. And one of the people that you had mentioned, I think there were two people that you look up to that inspire you that are in that NLP. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. One is John Grinder, and he was the co-founder of NLP with Richard Bandler. He taught a class of 70 people. And I was there for about 2 weeks. I paid, a couple of grand for the course. And during that time, when he speaks to the whole class, it just felt like he was speaking to me. And it was just the most magical experience. And then during that time, Michael Carroll, who is the head of the NLP Academy that hosted the event, hosted the training. After that, he led the hypnosis training, and I'd seen him do some NLP stuff, because NLP for me is still got a mystique to it, and hypnosis has still got a mystique to it that is just completely magical. And during the NLP training, he showed some of what he could do, but during the hypnosis training, he took us all so, so deep. I've never been that immersed in an experience ever. And I've been a frontline ambulance man, driving on blue lights and sirens, and seeing all kinds of, carnage and stuff. The hypnosis training was the scariest thing I've done in my life to date, because there was parts of it that I just wanted to run away.
Okay.
But yeah, I stuck the course, because it was just, you've got a mirror up to your own personality. So it's very intense, and you feel, there was points of it where I felt just completely raw, vulnerable. I stuck the course, and I didn't. And the last day he came up to me and he said, John, you've done really well. I was like, I think I've done really terribly actually. But yeah, it was a special time, because I was in tears. I had a panic attack, it was serious stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
But they kept it together. They kept me together during that course. And it was, the most challenging training. I wasn't only challenged by him. I was challenged by every other single person that was training with me in the most kind of peaceful, loving, but very confrontational way possible. So, yeah, and it shaped my journey. It's like everything's along my journey has happened for a reason, and I don't believe in coincidences. So, yeah, those two men really, you know, did a lot for me, and I look up to them very much so.
Man, there's a lot to unpack there, but a couple things that stood out to me when you're saying that. So I watched a special on, there's a show on Netflix called The Goop Lab, and they were talking about psychedelics and using that together with meditation, together with proper and healthy counseling to walk people through journeys and to be able to accomplish things that they would not be able to do without that. Are there similarities in your mind with the hypnosis to that process?
Yeah, totally. Because, I mean, let's put it this way, that I've had the experiences between hypnosis and NLP and taking psychedelics. So I've, in my time, I've taken huge doses of LSD. So that's opened up a lot of doors for me as well within my own mind. But the similarities between those two things are huge. But the only thing about the Goop Lab is that they haven't got a good reputation in the space. Because they're kind of trying to pull, from my point of view anyway, from what the information I've got, because I if there's something that comes out, I'm not a cynic, but I'm a skeptic.
Okay.
So I want to know that there's some, you know, substance to it. But yeah, what you're saying, they've got very stark similarities, because you're helping people to open up channels within themselves that are then they can access their resources, they can let things go that they've been holding on to. So, but yeah, any all those modalities, they kind of work in harmony together. But yeah, I can only speak really for the NLP and the hypnosis and the meditation, that kind of stuff. I haven't got any recent experience with psychedelics, neither have I with working with the Goop Lab.
Okay. Yeah, it seemed like some of the terminology you're using just clicked, and I've heard Tim Ferriss speak a lot about that, and actually he's investing pretty heavily into that space and the psychedelics being used to help, like with PTSD, soldiers coming back home, things of that nature. And I would imagine that hypnosis and NLP would tie into that as well with benefiting that. Is that true?
Yeah, I would think so. I've got no hard and fast research on my end, documented research, but from what I'm seeing, I mean, I know that cannabis, mushrooms, LSD, DMT, these are all very powerful medicines if they're used in the right way. So, and I think that's supported by, what you're saying is making sense. Proper counseling that is based on, natural medicine and, making the assumption that the person can heal themselves is a sensible way to think about it.
And you said using it in the right way. Is there something that stands out where you've seen instances where it's been used improperly without the proper guidance or whatever? And what are the downsides of that, and how is that to be best avoided?
Yeah, well, I'm walking, talking, living evidence of that, because I took my last dose of LSD was 2008, I got careless with it, I got burnt pretty hard. Like I took a huge dose, and then I mixed it with cannabis, and it basically induced an eight hour psychosis that I didn't think I was going to come back from. So I got irresponsible with it, and everything for a reason, obviously. I wasn't meant to take any more at that point in time. If the only reason you're using psychedelics is to go out and party, and that's the only intention that you've got, you're not really getting the best out of them. Recreational use is, fine, but if it turns into that's the only way you can have fun, I think that you're missing the point. In other circumstances, I mean, there's now clinical trials around psilocybin to treat depression and stuff like that. So used in those contexts, I think is a wiser way to use them. And I think there needs to be, more education around using them recreationally as well.
That makes sense. I think it's like balancing anything, you know, having a proper view. If you're going to be intense with most things, it's going to probably come back and bite us. So that that makes good sense to me. There was something. Oh, okay. So what would you say, John, to maybe some critics? They're like, all right, John, that sounds like mumbo jumbo, like hypnosis and like NLP, like whether it be my conservative background or my religious background, I just can't jive with this. It's a tough thing to swallow. How do you address that type of resistance?
I would say there's no, I don't have to argue with people. It's everybody's on their own path. And I've learned that if and when people are ready to open up to the possibility of these experiences, then it just happens. But I've had that conversation with many people where they're like, oh, I don't believe in hypnosis. And I just say, you know what? That's absolutely fine. You know, people are totally entitled to their own views and their own journey. The flip side of that is that if I wanted to convince someone or wanted to prove that yes, they can be hypnotized, there's the classic hypnosis story is what happens to you when you miss your exit and you're five exits down on the highway and you don't even remember the last 10 minutes. You were just in your own world. That's a state of trance. You have literally hypnotized yourself into forgetting where you are. You're still in control of the vehicle. Your subconscious mind is just driving the vehicle and you have no conscious recollection of what is happening. You've been in a state of hypnosis that whole time. Now, people will, you know, if they're really entrenched in their views, there's not really going to be any way to convince them otherwise. But that at least opens the door for them to understand there's something more to the mind, you know?
Yeah. So that sounds like with the exit thing, I think I go into a trance probably daily. Like I like go in the kitchen. I'm like, what did I come in here for? So I guess I'm pretty experienced hypnotized person without even realizing, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We all are. But there's... We can't be aware of hypnosis for me is a narrowing and a deepening of attention. So we can't be focused on our whole experience at any one point in time. We always have a narrowed focus attention on something. And that is the state of hypnosis for me, because you're focused on one particular thing and everything else for that time doesn't exist. It's not in your awareness. So you have no consciousness of it, you know?
Yeah. That is fascinating. So if someone's coming in and opposing you and arguing you, that's not your journey that you're about. But if they are like, okay, John, like I'm curious, kind of like you were with the crystals, essential oils, like I'm skeptical, but I'm at least open enough to consider, the question being, what would I gain from hypnosis, or maybe vice versa? What would I be lacking if I don't step into the realm of hypnosis or NLP? What am I going to potentially be missing out on?
Well, the primary thing that I've experienced with hypnosis, and obviously I've had some very intense experiences with being in those altered states, but the primary thing is relaxation. Everything that I do is centered around relaxing the body, relaxing the nervous system, relaxing the mind. And when you're going into a fairly deep trance, then your whole body just relaxes. Your energy calms down, your breathing calms down, you know, your heart rate calms down, everything stills. So if you're go, go, go all the time, then you'll be missing out on actually having that real stillness experience. That's what I'd say is the main thing.
Cool. All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, John. As we get ready to wrap up here, John, let all your raving fans and listeners out there know how can they get in touch with you on the old socials and all that.
Yes, I'm New Life Frequencies on Facebook and YouTube, and at New Life Frequencies on Instagram. My website is newlifefrequencies.com, and that's about it. That's the places that I can be found. I'm just, you know, I'm open to working with people and seeing how I can support them on their journey. I've got a membership service for music. yeah, the, you know, I'm keen to get out, and support people in their journey.
That's awesome. So, all right, John, one of the last questions here. If you had the ability to have a background on the cell phone of a billion people and you could put up any message and it would stay there for a week, what would that message be?
Release and let go.
Release and let go.
Yeah.
I like that. So I've said that to myself a lot this week. Just let go. It's one thing I hear a lot with my yoga instructors I see online, Adrian and Boho, beautiful, and just let go. And I have to say that to myself constantly, just let go. So that resonates well with me.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Well, is there anything else that you want to get out there before we get ready to close here, John?
Just that I practice, that comes from the last sort of 18 months practicing something called the Sedona method. And that's all about working with yourself to release what you're holding on to and get out of your own way. So, yeah, I'd just like to add that.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that too. So, all right. Well, here we go. As we close here, tell your Wendy Lou, tell Larry King, tell Andre Kruger that you are the star, and John Bass, this show is for you.